I want to ask a question, and if this is you, I'll just ask you to raise your hand, okay? I think it's going to be a lot of us. Have you ever prayed and asked God for something, and he either did not answer or did it not the way you thought that he would? Anybody relate to that? You prayed? Okay, that's a lot of us. Okay, pretty much all of us, except for those of you that will never raise your hand no matter what we say. Yeah. Would you like $1,000? That's dumb, all right? Which is ironic because I'm that guy, and yet I always make people do it. I don't know. Anyways, I'm like, I'm not going to raise them, talk to my neighbor, all that kind of stuff. But here's something that many of us have. We've prayed, and God didn't answer it. Or we prayed, and we don't understand why he did it the way that he did. And so I just want to jump right into what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to answer two questions. Why are some prayers not answered? Why is it that we pray and sometimes it's just not answered? And then maybe more important is, what do we do when my prayer isn't answered? I prayed and God hasn't answered. What do I do in that situation? And so I want to get there. And I think that there's some really important reasons why. And one is that for many, they've prayed and didn't get an answer. And because of that, they stopped praying. And maybe that's you. You've prayed and God didn't answer and you don't pray. And sometimes you don't even pray for new things that come up, much less that anymore. You've just quit praying. And sometimes when we get a no or we don't get an answer, it causes that. We need to have a little bit more, I think, the attitude of my son when it comes to asking to play video games, okay? He gets up in the morning, first thing, Dad, can I play Fortnite? Not right now. We're going to do other stuff first. And he waits about a minute and a half before he asks again, Dad, can we play Fortnite? No, we're going to eat breakfast first. Okay. He'll eat one bite. Now can I play? And it's just, okay, drives me up the wall. But he's persistent. But wouldn't it be sad if I told him no to something and he never asked me for anything again because he didn't get the answer he thought he should? And some of us, God has said no or he didn't answer the way we thought he would and we quit praying and we shouldn't. And so I don't want that to be us. We want us to keep praying. For some, it has actually caused a crisis in your faith. You've prayed and God should have answered this and he didn't, and it's caused you to struggle in your faith, and I want us to get past that. And also, I think there's maybe some things that God wants to do, and if you'll address the why he's not answering, you may see some answered prayer in your life. And so I want to see God answer prayer in your life. And so we're talking about prayer. So just real quick, I want to just talk about what is prayer. I mean, you've known what prayer is since you were a little kid, and they said, what's prayer? Talking to Jesus, right? You knew what it was in children's church, but just simply, prayer is to ask God. I mean, if I was to go as bare bones as I can, it's to ask him. It's to ask him for help. It's to ask him for healing, to ask him to tell you what to do. Here's a big one, to ask him to change you. It's to ask God, okay? And then here's a definition I saw a few years ago, and it stuck with me. I just love the way it speaks to me. It says, prayer is talking to God about what we are doing together. So I think of life like, if you ever had to move, anybody had to move, like, you know what I'm talking about? I see a couple. All you, like, I'm not raising my hand, bro, okay? You've had to move, okay? And you got that big couch that you can't do on your own, and so you have somebody's there, there's two of you, and you're moving this couch. And if you think of life like moving the couch, here's what you do. When you're moving this thing, you're talking. Right? All right, you ready? Okay, you're going to lift together. Okay, and then you're going through the door and it won't fit. It's like, okay, we're going to turn it up. Turn it up this way, right? And then pivot, you know. And you're talking about all the different things that you've got to do as you're going through that. And now it's time to set it down. And if you think of life like this, we're going through life with God. I'm with him and he's with me. And whether it's your marriage, you're like, God, how am I supposed to handle this? He's like, okay, tilt it like this. God, how are we going to get through here? Okay, my kid's rebelling. My kid's struggling. God, how can I help my kid? What are we going to do? And you're talking to him about everything you're doing as you go through your life. And if you begin to see prayer as a conversation with God as you're going through your life, you have a good view of prayer that he is there. And here's the thing, he helps us and he does things and he's going to lift stuff that's way too heavy for you to lift because he's with you. And we need the right view of prayer. We sometimes get what I call the vending machine view of prayer, which is the wrong view of prayer. A vending machine, you come up to it and you pick what you want. Oh, that looks good. I want that too. And you put the money in. And if you push the right buttons, the right thing comes out. And this is kind of what we think with God. If I get the right prayer and the right thing and the knee, then he's going to do what I tell him to do. Except some of you have experienced this with the vending machine. It goes, neek, you know, that piece that sticks on the glass. And we get all frustrated. And here's the thing, you may have been frustrated with God because you thought he was the vending machine in heaven. And if you inserted the right kind of a prayer, then he would do what you wanted him to do. But He is not a vending machine. He's our Heavenly Father who, and by the way, on this couch thing, he's the dad and you're the son, right? He's the master and you're the servant. He's going to tell us where to go. And we ask. It's not telling God, we're asking God. So prayer is when we ask God to move. And this is important, okay? And prayer is our conversation with God that our relationship is built on. You need prayer for that. Prayer is the obedience that brings God's power into your life. Okay, we're gonna do one more hand raise. Promise the last one, okay? Okay, ready? Because I did the other one, and I want us to see this one. How many of you have prayed and you saw God do something mighty in your life? Anybody? Okay, that's really important. I want you to see that because prayer is powerful and it brings change, and so we need to pray. So, why are some prayers not answered? Why are some, now I'm going to be straight and tell you right up, I'm not going to get to every reason in Scripture that talks about this, okay? There's probably, there's a lot of things we could talk about. I'm going to talk about three big ones this morning that will help us to get a general understanding of this, but and then talk about what we do on the other side. So what are some reasons that prayers are not answered? So we're going to start in James chapter 4. We're going to look to Scripture for all of these, and because that's where the answers are. And James chapter 4, verse 1, starts like this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, and you don't get it. Now, we all have felt this. You've got some quarrels with somebody or different things. And if you have kids, you see this like to the extreme, okay? My kids, they know how to do this. They know how to fight over what they want. And by the way, parents, if you don't know, you probably figured this out. You know what your kid's favorite toy is? The one the other kid is playing with. That's what I've discovered. That's my favorite toy. And I've walked in the room. I could not believe it one time we walked. They were literally rolling on the floor, hitting each other because they wanted something and they didn't get it, okay? He says, and so you kill, you covet, you cannot have what you want, you quarrel, and you fight. What does this have to do with prayer? Okay, the next verse. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. That's prayer. You do not ask God. In fact, some of you are in a fight and you're quarreling about something, and it's actually because you haven't asked God. There's something that's going on in your life and you haven't seen God move and haven't seen God do something because you haven't asked. We have to ask Him. But then He goes on, He gives us the first reason. He says, when you ask, and so you have asked, you have prayed, He says, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Did you know you can ask with the wrong motives? That you can pray with bad motives? And motives matter to God, okay? Your heart matters to God. You know, it could just be as dumb as you're driving down the highway a little bit too fast, and you see that red and blue in the rearview mirror. Oh, Lord, please let that be for somebody else. Not because you plan to correct your driving, because you want him to get past so you can speed right back up, right? The wrong motive. I one time had a teacher when I was in school who disliked me and treated me badly. Now, have you ever had a boss? Now, don't raise your hand. I told you you didn't have to do that again. Just think to yourself, a boss or a teacher that disliked you and treated you badly. Okay, I think we get that. And so I was at home and I was complaining all about this teacher. And by the way, you don't complain to my mom about stuff because she said, well, you need to go pray for her. And I thought, I want to pray about her, you know. and I could have gone and prayed a prayer that that woman would have had a bad day and that she would get corrected and she needs to change, maybe get fired. And I believe God would have ignored that prayer because it would have come from a motive of vengeance or a motive of bitterness, right? But she taught me, I go and I'm supposed to pray that the Lord would bless her and help her. And that was a harder prayer to pray. And you know what, though, as my motives begin to change, that situation began to change. You can pray from the wrong motives or you can pray from the right motives. And it makes a difference in whether or not God's going to respond to that prayer or not. You know, I was thinking, he says, you spend it on your own pleasures. And can you pray for a raise? Can you pray for more money? Yeah, of course you can. Is your heart right, though? Is your heart right towards money? Some of us need to recognize that our heart towards money is wrong. And here's a great way. This is going to make some of you mad. If everything you get, you spend only on you, your heart towards money is wrong. You don't give. You don't tithe. You don't give to others. It's all for you. And you go to God and say, Lord, I want more. He's going to probably say, when your heart changes, okay? And because here's the thing. Our motives matter. And when we have wrong motives, why some of our prayers aren't answered is these wrong motives. So whether it's pride, you can go to God in pride and ask him to puff you up and give you that promotion so that you can brag. or you can ask it from the right motives, okay? And there's good motives, there's selfish motives. I was praying for this service today, and it was just a little while ago, and I felt like the Lord said, did you know you could pray right now with the wrong motive? As a pastor, pastors will pray that the service goes good. Why? So everyone will tell him how good he did, right? So they'll go, man, that guy, he's got it together. And as I was praying, I realized, you know what? I don't care how good I do. I care if you get ministered to, if God changes your heart. And if I'm praying that way, God will answer that prayer. I don't care about being puffed up for myself. So you can pray with the right motives and the wrong. I mean, come on, you think a good service, that's all that God cares about. No, he cares about our motives. And so we pray with the right motives. Okay, so if we're praying with the wrong motives, we're going to not see answered prayer. Okay, so next, I'm going to go and look at something Jesus said. He's talking about prayer, and he says this, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Can you say faith? Faith. And he says, if you ask in faith. And now here it is. There's a really, really important word, if. And the implication here is if I'm not asking in faith, I'm not going to have what I ask for. We have to ask in faith. That was in Matthew and James. It says this, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Again, we see that it's a prayer that is done in faith. Here's what we need. We need faith. And sometimes the reason our prayers are not answered is because we don't have this faith. Faith is when is complete. This is not a complete definition, but it'll help us. It's complete trust or confidence in something. So you have confidence in that chair you're sitting in. I saw how comfortable some of you look in there. You have confidence. It's not going to fall on you. You put some faith in that. Now, what we put our faith in is we put our faith in God. And it's a greater confidence and a greater trust that he is going to come through, that he's going to do what needs to be done. It's a trust and confidence in him. And I just want to mention this. Our faith is not in our prayer. Our faith is in Jesus. I've been around a while, and I remember going through a time when there was this whole thing, people around me had to say certain words to get God to do it. And I had a friend who was afraid to say he was sick, because if he said he was sick, he wanted prayer for being sick, and he had to come up and say, the Lord is healing me and I'm healed and I want you to pray for that. And he was afraid if he said the wrong, I was like, what is going on? And we had this little, wait, no, do you say it like this? And we're trying to figure out the special words. That's vending machine God again. If I figure out the special combination, then God will move. My faith is in me and my words and my prayer. No, my faith is in a God that loves me and is taking care of me. And if I have that kind of faith, then he will move, okay? And so sometimes the reason our prayers are not answered is lack of faith. I think a great way to illustrate this for you would be if you've watched football, there's a special play that you hope never happens, and it's a Hail Mary, okay? A Hail Mary is what happens at the very end of the game. Seems like the Dallas Cowboys do this a lot, because you're losing, okay? And nothing else has worked, okay? It's like I've tried running, we've tried the regular passing plays, we've tried all the things, and now it's at the very end, there's nothing else I can do. We're just going to throw it up and hope that the guy in the end zone, and most of the time it doesn't work. And so nothing else has worked. I guess I'll try this. It probably won't work, but it's my best thing now. Now, if that is the way we go towards prayer, does that sound like faith? I've tried everything else. Nothing else worked. I guess I'll try this prayer thing and see if it works. That's not going to result in answered prayer. That's not faith. That's just one more thing I'll try. Now, does God sometimes answer Hail Mary prayers? And I think yes, and here's why. Because sometimes in those moments, faith comes. As we realize, I am not enough, it must be only God. In that moment, faith can come. So if you're sitting in a Hail Mary situation, I'm not telling you don't pray. I'm saying turn your faith towards God and your confidence in God and trust that he'll do it. So we want to come to him with faith. And I'm going to talk in a minute about how we build our faith, if that's a struggle for us. But sometimes he doesn't answer because we're not asking in faith. And here's the last one we're going to do on reasons why is sometimes it's what we're asking for is not in God's will. So let me show you a couple things. Here's Jesus teaching us on prayer. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are to pray for his will, not whatever we desire. We pray for his will. Here's in 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It is when we ask according to his will. Now, all of us can probably look back in our life and give thanks for a time God did not answer that prayer. I mean, think of who you'd be married to if he answered you what you prayed at 13 years old. Lord, please. And he's like, no. And, you know, and so, and of course, when you're 13, you're praying it right now. You're like, but Lord. And we don't know. Sometimes we can look back and we can see, thank you, Lord, for not answering that prayer. Okay, sometimes it's very obvious why he said no down the road. Sometimes it's not obvious. And a lot of times we can go, God, why wouldn't you answer this? Why doesn't he do this? I know I'm asking in faith and I have the right motives. And why isn't he answering? And sometimes it's more complicated to understand and see God's will. There's a powerful passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul is dealing with something like this. And I think it may speak to many of us. It's spoken to me. So I'm just going to jump in 2 Corinthians. Why are some of our prayers not answered? It's because it's not in God's will. He says, to keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. So apparently, Paul has a problem in that God is speaking to him so good, pride is having the potential to set in. And I don't know if you know this about pride. Pride comes before destruction. And so can you imagine what would have happened in the early church if the man who is planting and growing all these churches comes into pride and has destruction in his life, what that could have done to the church. So he's like, okay, this is what needs to happen. He says, because of this, there has been given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, there is a lot of debate over what the thorn in the flesh is. I have heard all kinds of things, crazy things, interesting things. I have a theory. I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you one-on-one if you want to know. But there's all these different things. Who knows? But here's what I do know about this thorn in his flesh. It tormented him. It was not a small thing. This was something in his life. I mean, if you've ever been hiking and you had that thorn poke your leg, okay, he had a thorn that was in his flesh is what it was like. It was something that was tormenting him, and he wanted it gone. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This is not three quick prayers. Lord, would you take care of this? This may have been three seasons of prayers where he is pleading with the Lord, praying and seeking God to remove this thing from him. But he said to me, and by the way, sometimes more than God moving, we need God to speak to us. He said, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. I want you to remember that because we're going to come back to that. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. Apparently, it was not in God's will for that thorn to be removed because of, well, Paul said it was because of some reasons, and he had an understanding of that. But sometimes it's difficult to look at your situation and go, why can't this thorn be removed? In fact, you might even say, well, it seems like God would not want Paul to have this torment, but he left it for a reason, and it was in God's will somehow, and it's going to be difficult. I mean, if I was Paul, I'd be like, can't we just deal with this conceited thing, and then I can move on to getting this thorn out? But there was... God knew what Paul needed. Sometimes God does not answer our prayers the way that we would think or in the timing that we would think. A few years ago, I remember when my mom was first diagnosed with cancer and we were praying and the Lord gave her a word. You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That's powerful to get from God when you're facing cancer. And then she goes back to the doctor, and she still has cancer. And it's like, and I remember praying and thinking, God, you can just do it now. Like, hello, easy for you, okay? And it's like, why are we waiting? And I can tell you, I don't know why we waited. She's cancer-free now, but I don't know why it took so long. Why did we have to keep paying doctors, and why keep going through all of those things? We don't know what God is doing, but I can tell you this. I know this about Paul. Did Paul do what was good? I mean, did God do what was good for Paul? Absolutely, he did. He did what is good, and he will do what is good for you. You have to trust him. Sometimes faith is a different level when you realize that you're trusting God to do the right thing, not what you want him to do. That he's doing what is good for you, even if you can't see what is good for you. I mean, it's way greater than this, but if you've ever tried to explain to your 2-year-old why they can't put that fork in the light socket. Like, they can't comprehend electricity and all the things. They can't get that. Okay, and my son, a couple years ago, he was like, Dad, are you going to go to work today again? And I was like, yeah, I need to go to work. And he's like, why? And he, well, I got to make money. He's like, why? Well, you know, we got a mortgage and you got to eat food. And after I talked about all that, he just looked at me and he goes, well, are you going to go to work again? Like, it always started right back over. He can't comprehend. Okay. We can't comprehend what God can about our lives. It would be more, I mean, kid to dad, that's not even close to us. More like you to, I don't know, cricket, okay? Like an ant. Like what he understands is so much greater. And what we always remember, though, is he has our good in mind. And if we trust him and his will be for our good. So sometimes our prayers aren't answered for wrong motives. Sometimes it's a lack of faith. Sometimes it's outside God's will. And his will for us is actually better than what we even think it would be. So what do I do when my prayers aren't answered? Maybe even more important than understanding some of the why, because sometimes we don't even really fully grasp it, at least in this life, as to why. What do I do? Number one, I keep praying. And this is so important. You can't quit praying because a prayer wasn't answered or it wasn't answered right away. You have to keep praying. And this is what you do. You keep praying until God moves or God speaks. This is what Paul did. He prayed, he pleaded three times. In fact, he set us a great example. He didn't pray once, he pleaded three times. And three is not a magic number. I believe he prayed until God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he knew what God wanted to do in his life. And so he prayed until God spoke. I've done this, I've had God speak to me, and it's powerful. One time I was going through a pretty big relationship issue, and it just consumed my mind. I'm constantly thinking about it, praying about it. And one time I was in prayer, and I heard God speak to me. Now, when Paul gets from God, it's, my grace is sufficient for you. Mine was, I've got you. Yes, Paul's a little more spiritual, okay? But in those little words, I just felt in my spirit so strongly, I have stood up in peace about the situation, and I knew it was okay. And sometimes all we need is for God to speak to us to know it's going to be okay. So keep praying until he speaks or until he moves. A few years ago, I started having an issue where I would wake up in the middle of the night and my heart would be pounding so hard it hurt. It woke me up. And it would happen sometimes during the day and my heart would just start beating super hard, not fast, but hard. And I got a little worried, so much so I went to the doctor, which is a big deal because when I went to the doctor, they said, when was the last time you went to the doctor? And I was like, at least 10 years ago. Like, I'd never go. And they sent me to a cardiologist and doing all these things and expensive. And I had people pray for me. I came down front and got prayer and did all the things. But one night I'm laying in bed. I prayed quite a bit about it. And, you know, there it was, beating hard again. I couldn't even go to sleep. And I just felt like the Lord said, I want you to ask me. I was like, I have prayed so much. Like, we've already prayed about this. And this is kind of what I was thinking. And I thought, okay. I put my hand on my chest and I said, Lord, I pray that you would heal my heart and it won't do this anymore. And in that moment, it stopped beating hard. And I haven't been woken up to a hard heartbeat again. But I just needed to keep praying. God was doing a work in me and doing something in my faith or whatever, growing me. And so you need to keep praying. Keep praying. If God has not answered your prayer, keep praying. Don't give up. If God has not answered a prayer in your past, don't not pray for the next thing that comes. Keep praying. If you want to see God move, we need to keep praying. The next thing is you can grow your faith. If your faith is weak, if you're struggling to believe, did you know your faith can grow? Did you know you can build your faith? In fact, there's a great story where someone comes to Jesus and he's struggling with his faith. His child is sick, but he's struggling. Let me show you what happens. So his child is sick and he says to Jesus, he says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can. And Jesus goes, if you can. Like, he's talking to the guy who can heal anything, can do anything. And he's saying, if you can. Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. And I love what this man does. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Did you know you can ask God to help you grow your faith? You can ask God to help you believe that he will help. He will answer that prayer. You can seek him, say, God, I need to believe more. I'm struggling with this situation. I'm struggling to believe. Will you help me believe? You can go to God in prayer. And also, here's another thing. So faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. When we're struggling to believe and we're struggling with our faith, we need to grow our faith in prayer and we need to grow our faith in the word. You need to go to the Bible and see the things that God has done and learn what he said he will do. And it will build your faith as you begin to read his word. And if you're struggling to believe, You need to read his word. You need to pray. I didn't put this on there, but here's another huge one. You need to put yourself around people who have faith. There is something very powerful about being in a community of people that will speak faith into you and say, keep believing, keep praying, not doubters who go, well, you know, sometimes he doesn't do it. And people that will speak faith into you. And so you need to grow your faith. If you're struggling to believe, grow your faith. Seek God, grow your faith. And here's the last one. Remember, God's grace is sufficient for you. If you're in the waiting period, you're in the in-between, you've asked and God hasn't moved and the problem is still there, the thing is still there, this is something you need to remember, that God's grace is sufficient for you. That it is enough to get you through. His strength, his favor is enough to get you through this situation, to carry you through to the other side. So a few years ago, when each of my kids turned five, they started to lose their hearing. And we took them to audiologists and ear doctors, and they're like, well, they're going to need hearing aids. And so we did what we knew to do, and that was pray. I said, God, we want you to heal our kids. And we brought them down, had them prayed for and anointed, and I fasted and prayed. And I remember taking them back to the audiologist going, I can't wait to see that chart is better and not worse. And it was worse. And so what do? We kept praying, and we kept praying. And God still has not moved in that situation. And I remember right after, while we're in the middle of that, you know, other things are happening in life. And there was one night where we're sitting in bed, and so we needed to pray about this situation, some financial thing. And I just said to my wife, I said, I don't want to pray. I don't want to pray about that. I don't care about that. I want God to do this other thing. I was like, I don't care about $1,000. I would give all of my money for this other thing to be healed, taken care of. I don't care about that. And what I started to see after that was that the enemy was trying to use something to steal prayer and to steal God doing miracles and steal what God wanted to do in my life. And I had to realize this and learn this. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for me. And as I'm looking at unanswered prayer, his grace is enough. His love is enough. And here's something I would say to you parents. His grace is sufficient for your kids. And you've prayed for them and you haven't seen the miracle yet. His grace is sufficient. He will get them through. He will get them through that. He loves them more than you even do. And so you can lean on that. And when we're facing an unanswered prayer and we're facing something, we need to know his grace is sufficient and we can rely on him and he will get us through. And keep praying. Don't give up. I'm still praying. Until God says, don't pray about that anymore. I'm going to keep praying. Until he moves or until he speaks, I'm going to keep praying. And so I really have this in my heart for you, that some of you came today with unanswered prayer. And some of you have been praying about something and you quit. You gave up. My message to you today is to start praying again, to believe again, to have faith again that God can move. And it may have been something you've had for a long time and a struggle you've dealt with, and you gave up on praying. Pray again. Do you know how many times in Scripture you'll see somebody that prayed for something for a long time before and then God moved? Don't give up because he hasn't moved yet. And if you're in that middle ground and you're like, I just don't know how to carry this, his grace is sufficient for you. And maybe today what you need to do is just rest in his love. We're going to worship and sing for a moment and pray. And rest in this, his love is enough for me. His grace is enough for me. And let him get you through. Do you trust him? Do you trust that his way is better? Do you trust that he is good? He is. And so let's turn to him. So in a moment, we're going to stand and worship. And we're going to take some time to just bring our needs before God. In fact, I have a verse I want us to use during this time of prayer. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. He has a mighty hand. Mighty to save, mighty to heal, mighty to overcome any struggle that we have. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Some translations say all of your cares, all of your burdens. If you have a care, a burden, an anxiety, this is what we want to do. We want to bring it to him and put it under his mighty hand. It is yours, God, and trust him with it. So if you came with a need, don't leave without praying for that need today. I'm going to pray over all of us. We're going to stand, and when we stand, we're going to, the prayer partners will come forward. If you need prayer, I want you to step out and believe for that. Father, I thank you that you are with us today. Lord, I pray that you would move in our lives, Lord, that we would see answered prayer. Lord, bring up, stir up faith in us, Lord. Help us, God, to seek you, and I believe that you're going to move in our lives today. In Jesus' name.